I'm hearing it too. This is new for all of us, and we're just getting used to this system. Yep. So bear with us tonight, and I'm going to open it up here. Good evening, and welcome to the Derry Township Board of Supervisors meeting. It's our regularly scheduled meeting for April 25th, 2023. It is approximately 7:11 p.m. The board met an executive session beginning at 6 p.m. to discuss legal and land issues. That executive session ended at approximately 7:05 p.m. And so at this time, I will call our meeting, our regularly scheduled meeting, to order. And I ask that everyone stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Mr. Christman, would you please conduct the roll call?
Supervisor Zamuda?
Here.
Supervisor Corrado?
Here.
Supervisor Nutt?
Here.
Supervisor Wyckoff?
Here.
And Supervisor Bruza?
Here.
Five present, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. They even took down the little note here that used to say, but I had it memorized, although it's... Although it's posted within the meeting room at various locations, it has been and is the policy of the township to take record of all public meetings. We do that for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. So we ask that anybody that speaks at the meeting, please, if you come up to the podium, please state your full name, first name, and last name. If you're here for an agenda item, you just need to identify yourself by name and entity you work for, if you're here for an agenda item, or entity you're representing. If you're a member of the public, you just need to merely state first name, last name, and address. So Mr. Creasy doesn't have to tell us where he lives. We just need to know it's Mr. Creasy and who he is representing. So we have two public comment sessions during the meeting, the one in the beginning and one at the end. This is the time and place for the first one. The rules around public comment are the same as they always are. We generally allot 3 minutes per speaker. We ask that you state your name, first name, last name. And if you have an unusual last name, we ask that you spell your last name for the benefit of our stenographer. And we will then afford the speaker about 3 minutes to place your comment into the record. If you get to the three-minute mark, you're not wrapping up, I'm going to nudge you to finish up. Other than that, we'll have a second session that is a public comment session at the end of the agenda. So you have an opportunity both times during the meeting to speak. So with that, is there anyone from the public wishing to come to the podium and address the board or place comment into the record? All right, hearing none or seeing none, we will move forward to the first item on the agenda, which is our consent calendar. The items under the consent calendar are A, the adoption of the Board of Supervisor meeting minutes for the March 11th, 2023 regular meeting. B is the reduction of the performance security provided for the final land development plan for Kakao Way, Plat 1331. And C is the approval of the April 25th, 2023 accounts payable, the amount of $665,267.84, and payroll in the amount of $325,828.69. Members of the board can make a motion to approve all items under the consent calendar in one motion, or separate them and vote on each one individually. So what is the pleasure of the board?
I move that we accept the consent calendar as outlined in tonight's agenda, items A through C.
I'll second.
Motion made by Mr. Wyckoff. Motion is seconded by Mr. Zamuda. Is there any discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion to approve the items under the consent calendar, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. That takes us to new business. The first item under new business is A. It's a request for authorization to execute a proposal with Goods Tree and Lawn Care for tree removal services for medians located within the Walton Spring Hill subdivision. Mr. Christman.
Thank
Mr. Chairman. As the board is aware, Derry Township does provide limited maintenance of median areas located within the Walton Hill Springs subdivision. Following a meeting in January with some of the homeowners, the township contracted with the township's arborist, goods, tree, and lawn care. They were contacted and they provided a site evaluation for us in the three median areas and identified approximately 27 trees that need to be removed from the medians that could potentially be hazardous. The proposal this evening that's before you is for a total cost of $14,700. That's for the removal of all 27 trees. That would include the cleanup of limb debris and removal from the site. All wood, where applicable, would be left in the wooded areas to assist in maintaining the erosion and sediment control on the medians themselves. Insofar as the financial impact would be concerned with our budget, since this was an unbudgeted project, this expense would be billed against line item 01-434-50, other contracted services within the public works budget. Fund balance would be used to, if that budget right now is a $64,000 line item, but it does exceed by the end of the year based on other projects that were previously approved. Fund balance would be used to supplement that expense exposure. I'm recommending approval this evening of this proposal. We did contact two other companies, I believe, to try to get quotations. They were not provided, so I'm recommending that you move forward with goods, tree, and lawn care this evening.
All right, very good. Are there any questions for Mr. Christman? If not, is there a motion?
I'll offer a motion that the Board of Supervisors authorize the Township Manager to execute a proposal number 103678 with Goods Tree and Lawn Care for an amount not to exceed $14,700 for the removal of trees within the medians of Walton Spring Hills subdivision.
Thank you. Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Let's keep it.
Sorry,
friendly down here. Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Is there any discussion or comments on this motion?
I've got a comment. This is, I don't know how many homeowners there are in the audience, but I know this is a great price if you've ever had to have a tree removed. This is a really good price. So I think that this is great. $14,000 for 27 trees. So happy that we can get that taken care of for a really great price.
Big thank you to Mr. Clark, and obviously our relationship with goods goes back a long way with the township, so and we're happy to have continued service with them. And like you mentioned, this is a great price for the township to remove 27 trees.
Any other comment or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. The next item is B. It's the request for authorization to execute a proposal for construction management services with Capital Construction Management, LLC, for improvements in Chocolatown Park. Mr. Christman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we mentioned at our last board meeting, when we had an update on the Chocolatown Park improvements with respect to the Courtyard of Honor and the Court of Honor memorials that the township is undertaking in that renovation project, it was recommended that we move forward with selecting a construction manager for the project, and we're recommending Capital Construction Management this evening. In your packet, of course, is a copy of their proposed rate schedule. They will be billing this on an hourly rate as per that fee schedule, and we're estimating the budget to be between $25,000 and $35,000 for the entire project over this course of the build. It certainly could be a little bit less depending upon scope of work and changes that might occur within the project as we're moving forward with it. We are opening a new line item within the capital projects budget. You'll see that moving forward in next year's budget to cover any ancillary costs with this particular park and any future public improvements that we may wish to make. Those funds and those expenses would be covered in that line item within that budget. I am recommending approval this evening of the proposal with Capital Construction Management. I'll try to answer any questions you might have tonight.
Questions for Mr. Christman?
I have one. These fees could be payable through the nonprofit that's also raising funds for this project. So this doesn't necessarily fall to the township. It could also be covered by extending fundraising through the nonprofit or through other grants or things things like that.
Yes.
Not necessarily the township's cost.
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions? Hearing none, is there a motion?
I'll make the motion that the township manager, that the board authorize the township manager to execute a proposal with Capital Construction Management LLC in an amount not to exceed $35,000 for the construction management services as it relates to improvements of Pitch Hop the Town Park.
All right. Motion made by Mr. Zanuda. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mrs. Nutt. Any discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Next item is C. It's the request for authorization to execute the Dauphin County Local Share Municipal Grant Agreements. Mr. Crispin.
Excuse me 1 second. My computer's bringing up the forms. But off the top of my head, I can tell you. As you are aware, Dairy Township always serves as a sponsor for Dauphin County Local Share Municipal Grants. So each year we go through a pretty extensive review process and we make recommendations to the board. Last year we went through and we had 7 applicants go through and rank them in 7 different positions. And awards were issued as follows, and they're in your packet tonight. Short one for the Hershey Volunteer Fire Company. I know Rodney's here tonight, but we're still waiting on that agreement to be released from the county at this point. Between both of us, we do not have a copy of it, so we're anticipating that in the next couple of weeks. But to move on with what's in your packet tonight, Agreement 2023-2 is with Dairy Township Public Works Department for the F-550 truck, and that was $123,500 grant. 2023-03 is with the Dairy Township Police Department for their training simulator, and it was a $47,000 grant. 2023-05 is with the Vista School for $12,392 for improvements. 2023-06 is with the Hershey History Center for $9,500. 2023-07 is with Hidden Still for $15,000. And 2023-08 is with Mary's Training Center for $50,000. There is no, at this point, financial obligation on the part of Dairy Township when we execute these agreements other than with the projects that we're associated with, of course. The township solicitor has been reviewing the agreements and I believe has some comments for the board's consideration with respect to those that are not associated directly with Dairy Township.
Right, so the agreements that have Dairy Township as the grantee, I don't have necessarily any significant comments on. The agreements with the Vista School, Hershey History Center, and Still and Mary's Training Center, those entities are identified as the grantees, and the Township of Dairy is identified as the co-grantee in those agreements. I do have a couple requested revisions to that form agreement from the county, specifically certain obligations that are probably not as appropriate for the co-grantee as opposed to the grantee. So I'm just going to suggest that we ask certain revisions be made to those agreements. The board, like I said, I don't have any issues with the agreements with Dairy Township as the grantee. It's where we're the co-grantee that I would suggest some revision. So if the board wanted to consider a motion authorizing all of them with the other ones conditional upon me reviewing and getting some revisions made, that's fine. Or if you would prefer to just authorize the ones where Dairy Township is the grantee this evening and maybe table the others, that's up to the board.
So Pat, you have in front of you, which are the ones, if we were going to pull some out and table them until you've had an opportunity to speak to the county solicitor, which would those be?
Those would be the one, Agreement 2023-5, 2023-6, 2023-7, and 2023-8. Those are the ones where the township is the co-granting. And the ones where the township is the grantee, which I don't have any comments on, would be Agreement 2023-2 and 2023-3. And those are the grants for the Dairy Township PWD F-550 truck and the Dairy Township Police Department training simulator. Yeah, if we're still waiting for one from the fire department, there'll be another grant agreement with the county, the township would be a co-grantee on that one as well, I suspect. Right, Chris?
Yes.
Pat, if we don't take action on 5 through 8, do we need to table them tonight?
It would be appropriate to table those.
So we could do one
yes.
motion for the 2 and
yep.
then a motion to table. Or you had said make a motion for the others contingent upon your...
However, what's the pleasure of the board? Yeah.
And the other one we'll get as no.
I guess if there's another one coming down the pike, it might, like, if you wanted to just table 5 through 8, maybe consider them once we have the revisions made. If they're on your agenda at the same time, then you get the next one. That'd be fine.
All right. So, and before we have a motion, it, just by my math, we had stated at the when we voted to sponsor projects that our policy was going to be to sponsor public safety, public works items first as a priority. And so in this, I'm just doing the math, it looks like we've the request that we sponsored brought back $310,500 to those, to the police department, the public works, and to the fire department. So, you know, the lion's share of the money that we sponsored were for those stated projects. The other, there was about $78,000, which is which based on our sort of prioritization of the projects were attributed to the Vista School, the Hershey History Center, the Hidden Still, the Mary's Training Center. So I just offer that for context, because this is moving forward, this is the embodiment of the policy we discussed when we agreed to sponsor these, that the majority we were going to be looking for public projects in the public safety, public works realm first, before we got to perhaps nonprofits that were within the boundaries of the township. So this is consistent with what we discussed at the meeting where we voted on these. So with that as a backdrop, Mr. Armstrong has given us some options here for a motion. So I will ask the board, what is your desire tonight for these items?
I'll make a motion that the Board of Supervisors authorize the Township Manager to execute Dauphin County Local Share Municipal Grant Agreements 2023-02 and 2023-03 as is, and items 2023-05 through 2023-08 contingent upon successful revisions to the co-applicant language per the Township Solicitor.
Thank you. Motion made by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there a second to his motion?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Are there any questions or discussion on the motion? All right, hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. The next item is D. It's the consideration of adoption of Ordinance 2023-04, adding Chapter 95... fireworks to the code of the Township of Derry. Mr. Haley.
I will pass this off to Pat Armstrong.
Sure.
So this is under Chuck's report, but I was involved to a certain extent in drafting the ordinance with Chuck in his absence. So this is an ordinance adding a new Chapter 95 fireworks, which is establishing definitions and regulations for the use of consumer and display fireworks and pyrotechnics within Derry Township. This has been advertised for adoption this evening pursuant to the second-class township code, and therefore, if there are any comments from the public, it would be appropriate this evening. But in a nutshell, Derry Township does not have a fireworks ordinance on the books at this time. The state has adopted certain amendments probably close to a year and a half, 2 years ago now, with respect to ordinances addressing the use of fireworks, both consumer and display, within the state of Pennsylvania. And this ordinance incorporates the most recent amendments from the state statute. I guess the takeaways are consumer fireworks are those that anyone can kind of go and use fireworks stores these days and this day and age and purchase and use in their backyard. So there are certain provisions specific to those types of fireworks in this ordinance. And then there's also display fireworks, which require a professional to set off and the requirement that they secure a permit from the township. pursuant to the ordinance. So that's a pretty quick breakdown. I believe Chuck's memo maybe breaks it down a little bit more in depth. I'm not sure how much the township board supervisor wants me to explain it this evening. Are there any questions or comments from the board regarding the proposed ordinance to establish a Chapter 95 fireworks? Seeing none, are there any questions or comments from the public?
Actually, I do have a question.
Oh, sure.
When I started reading through the ordinance, the proposed ordinance, I had some issues with the 1 a.m. limit it says here under the 95-3, part 7, on July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and December 31st, consumer fireworks may be used until 1 a.m. the following day. Even if fireworks are going to be held on a weekend, people still work. And they're going to be in bed early. I think that's pushing it, that 1 a.m. In my opinion, that shouldn't be any later than 11 o'clock in the evening. 31st, is going to be the next day. It's going to be a holiday anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But the other days, I have an issue with. Go ahead.
Before we proceed, I agree with you this evening. I do know that a number of the provisions in 95-3 come straight out of the state statute. So
we can't adopt this to our own township?
There are.
We don't have a home rule?
Well, Rick, I don't know if this changes. If you look down at footnote number one, it further defines what happens when July 4th falls on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, so that it does sort of take it. It says maybe used until 1 a.m. on the immediately preceding and following Friday and Saturday. So I think it's designed so that if the 4th of July is on a Monday, you can do it Sunday till Sunday and then into 1 a.m. on Monday.
Okay.
And the same thing if it's on a if it would be a 4th of July on a Friday.
I see that, but it only makes it slightly better. 1 a.m. is pushing it.
Well, the problem becomes you're going to.
Yeah, I didn't bring the statute with me, but I do know a number of these subsections, A1 through, come straight out of the statute. So I can revisit that if you feel strongly about it, but I'm fairly sure.
So you're saying we can't do anything about it, essentially?
I'm stopping short of that.
All right.
Because I don't have the statute in front of me.
Okay, well, what about displays during droughts or red flag conditions?
And where is that section?
I think that's wrong. I didn't see anything in there that would mitigate during those types of conditions.
Oh.
Unless I missed that.
So you're saying we've done
this past week we had red flag warnings. There was no burn.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then several years ago we had an issue up on Pat's Hill, right? Was that during the red flag event? Just at
burn ban and stuff. If you did a burn ban because of drought conditions, would that be one way of?
But it's not in the ordinance. It doesn't say that. If there's an announced burn ban.
I'll keep looking. Are there any others?
The only other question I had is we had an issue with fireworks at the zoo a couple of years ago. I don't know if that's worth addressing or not.
I'm not familiar with that.
You remember that? I see you're chuckling over that.
Yeah.
Apparently the animals. Yeah, the animals had a really tough time during the. There was kind of a.
I thought that was weird.
Was it New Year's?
It might have been
fireworks. Yeah. So yeah, those are the issues that I have with this.
Okay, I do see, at least with respect to display fireworks, there's a provision for the continuance in the event of the weather. Display, but you're talking about consumer fireworks, right?
Yeah.
That might be in your burn, when you issue a burn ban, that's a standalone ordinance to the possibility of the code of ordinances. That likely covers these types of operations, and it doesn't necessarily have to be in this ordinance. But if your burn ban
would be my understanding is that if a burn ban were enacted, that would then prohibit things such as fireworks being used.
Correct.
So when you guys announce a burn ban, would that also include, because I know it's not just we're instituting a burn ban, you say no outdoors, no trash burning, so you would say no fireworks, no burn pits.
Yeah, I believe the language does address all of those things.
Okay, that I can live with.
Questions or comments from the board?
No. If it's taken right out of the Bible, I just say there's not much I can change.
Any questions or comments from the public? Fire department?
No, he assisted Chuck with this, and so we're.
Oh, so you're good with it?
Yes.
Good.
All right, so you need a motion.
I do need a motion if the board wishes to adopt. I believe it's ordinance 2023-4. It would be appropriate this time. I'll make a motion.
All right, motion made for approval by Mr. Corrado.
That ordinance number 23-04 is hereby adopted.
I'm sorry, I jumped you. I jumped the shark. Motion made by Mr. Corrado.
Seconding this
motion. Motion for adoption of ordinance 2023-04 by Mr. Corrado. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mrs. Nutt. Any further discussion or questions, comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item is E. It's the consideration of resolution 2023-11, which would supplement the township's fee schedule as established by resolution number 2022-22 to establish fees for the administration of Chapter 95 dealing again with fireworks of the Code of the Township of Derry. So, Mr. Armstrong.
I can take this. As the proposed ordinance number 2023-04 was adopted, the fee schedule for the township will need to be amended to include this new permitting fee. That's what this resolution would do, is amend the fee schedule to incorporate the new Chapter 95 of the Derry Township Code of Ordinances.
Any questions for Mr. Hambig on the fee schedule for the resolution? If there are no questions, we'll entertain a motion.
I'll offer a motion that resolution number 2023-11 is hereby adopted.
All right, motion made by Mrs. Nutt for approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Is there any discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving resolution 2023-11, which relates to the township fee schedule as established by resolution number 2022, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. The next item of the agenda is F. It's the preliminary final land development and stormwater management site plan for Hershey Square proposed out parcel development, plot 1353. Mr. Habig.
Yes, I will be turning this over to the applicant after I give a brief synopsis. Tonight, the applicant is seeking verbal assurances from the board that the township will be the applicant for the PennDOT permanent plans, and the associated intersection improvements once the agreement between the developer and the township is completed and any modifications to the permit plans as recommended to HRG have been completed. And then, as included, it gives the timeline of the app that the applicant has in mind. And this time I will turn the floor over to the applicant.
Good evening. Charlie Sir from Stevens Elite, representing Virgin Square 2014. Yeah, this is what we're looking for is the board to actually formally vote to be the HOP applicant. I understand that we have two really conditions for that. One would be before anything is submitted, the engineering plan would be agreed upon by the engineers, and an agreement be worked out between myself and the solicitor. We have drafts that we're currently circulating that we're working on right now, and I anticipate we're going to be able to reach agreement in the next couple of weeks. Once we have the vote for the board, we can work on those and then we can submit. We have a schedule here to submit for the HOP, and it looks like probably be submitting it in the beginning of June, possibly the end of May, but most likely beginning of June. So this works out really nice with our schedule.
You're looking to submit the HOP application?
Yeah.
Late May, early June?
Correct. Correct. Yeah. So this good insurance is, we still have to finalize the HOP plans to go through with that. They have to be reviewed. We have to finish the agreement to go through with that. So that works out nice with that. In the meanwhile, we'll also be submitting the land development plans that we had discussed before. We had a schedule with that. So what we're looking for tonight is really just a vote that the township agrees that it would be the HOP applicant on the form with those two conditions.
Absolutely. And the revised land development plans, they're going to show the now newly proposed traffic improvements associated?
Correct. Yeah, specific sheets, both the off-site stuff as well as the on-site, which did not have questions about that last time. We talked about some, maybe some signage or some stuff on site that we would be showing on that. Those plan sheets would be submitted and included.
When you say off site, you mean
Main Street,
intersection, which is the township's position, but those are going to be, arguably speaking, on site improvements associated with the land development plan that would be the responsibility of your client. I understand that you might have a different.
It's not within our deed, but we're talking the same thing.
Right, that's what I mean. You're saying it's outside of your deeded properties, sure. But for purposes of land development, we're looking at it as...
It's all one project, we understand.
Right. What is the status of the, I guess, the HOP application? Or the plan? Is there...
The plans are sent through. I know they're still looking, I mean, Eric's been looking at it. He just issued a review letter last week, I believe.
Correct, yeah. Friday we issued a review letter on the traffic impact study itself.
Yeah. So I think they're trying to get that honed down, and then I think the plans would then come back. You haven't seen any
plans? I have not seen HOP plans. No.
Yeah, so that's what has to be developed during the next month.
So let me just ask a question, Mr. Stone. Yeah. The traffic plan that's proposed, one of the concerns that we have shared, the primary concern we have shared, has been the level of service at the intersection at May Street and Hershey Park Drive there. Have you had an opportunity to review the improvements, the proposed improvements, and whether or not they would improve the traffic condition or the level of service at that intersection?
Yeah, based on the revised traffic study that was submitted, on an overall basis, in the morning peak hour, the intersection operates at a level of service C and will remain that way after development. In the afternoon peak hour, it's a level of service D, and again, will remain that way after development. During the Saturday peak hour, there is a projected degradation from level of service D to level of service E in the 2033 projected conditions, and that's in the Saturday midday peak hour. That includes several movements that operate at level of service E that are just on the threshold between level service E and level service F. And again, that's the with development condition. Without development, there are several movements that are level service E, but they're not right on the threshold. And overall, it's a level service E that goes to an E after development, and even with this extra additional link.
We talked about at one of the meetings, you know, the time of year, right? So we know in this community, the summertime months are the busiest time on our roads, in this community. Does that study examine traffic impact during the summer months, or was that last month?
So due to the timing of the study being done, the traffic counts were actually done in December. Thought being, obviously, couldn't necessarily wait until summertime to collect that data. At least December, if I remember correctly, it might have been the Saturday right before Christmas. Thought being that's one of the busier times, at least in the off-season times, where you have traffic out there going to the Hershey Park. Outlets. So you have all the outlet traffic that's going through there. It's at least a little bit busier than it might be in, say, November or October time frame. And we did look at that data compared to data we had from years ago to see how in line that was. We had a couple older accounts that we looked at, as well as some PennDOT data from various times of year that was readily available, and use that data to kind of adjust the volumes along Hershey Park Drive. We wound up increasing them in the Saturday peak hour by 15% from what was there in December compared to what was analyzed in the study to represent increased volume that you'd have in the summer.
So if you did that for a Saturday, generally speaking, during any day of the week in the summer, my experience has been the traffic volume in the community is higher during the summer months. So is it possible that if we made the same adjustment to the calculations during the week, then the level D level of service could be impacted negatively, and during the week it could become a level E?
Yeah, so we did adjust during the PM peak as well. We did not during the AM peak because the park's closed at that time of day. But if I remember right, but during the PM peak there was an adjustment. I think that might have been 6%. And again, that was based on the review of data from previous counts. So it was adjusted in both the PM and Saturday. There's a projection there. Now, it would be ideal if we always could get count data in season. Weren't able to in this case. So there is some projection to those numbers.
And the reason I appreciate the effort that's being made. I guess my concern is, the level of traffic in this community has gotten worse on a yearly basis. We're adding the West End development with 900 residential units. That's just down the street. And I guess, I don't know how we can reliably consider past data to make that calculation. And I know that, it's hard to be pushing it off to the summer to get more accurate information, but my sense is that the prior year's data probably not reliable. And I'd much rather feel like if we approved it, it was based on the numbers that we were currently experiencing, and then perhaps we should be adjusting those numbers to account for the 900 residential units. There is absolutely no question that this Starbucks, I think that was, it's not the Starbucks one, right? They're going to be successful. There is no question that it will be a combination of traffic goers, park goers. It will be concert goers. It will be people that live here. It will be. It's not going to only be visited by folks driving down Hershey Park Drive. So, I don't think anybody up here is opposed to the general concept. We're just so worried about making. Here's the real struggle, in my opinion.
We're concerned about making traffic improvements that will be obsolete once it's built, because that's what happens in, you know, we have this issue with the medical center. Every time we make traffic improvements, we're always behind where they are in their growth. So we're living this every day in this community. I don't want you to feel like it will be an extra hard, because that's not our intent.
And that, I mean, that's probably a side factor of when traffic improvements are done on a piecemeal basis. When developers come in, they do a bit here, we do a bit there, a bit there. I mean, should PennDOT step up and redo everything? Maybe. Should the township step up and do everything just for its taxes and do it? That's problematic. People don't like that. But the way the process is set up pretty much universally around is that it's done bits and pieces by developer. And individual developers can only handle so much stuff like this, especially when, you know, if we have a disagreement whether this is on-site or off-site. Certainly not on our property. How much a individual project can bear for that, and to try to balance that all out. So it's not perfect, but the idea is this is at least an improvement, definitely improvement of what's going to happen there. Is it perfect? Probably not. Will we be able to do much more than this? Probably not.
But it doesn't sound like it is an improvement. It sounds like it was a level D, and it will remain a level D, except on the weekend, on Saturday, it will become worse.
In 10 years' time, projected.
10-year projection.
Yeah, a 10-year projection, which...
Is that true? That my concern would be, that would be my concern for using, not so much... My concern about using the past data as an indicator of the level of service at intersection is just as you say, Mr. Sir, it's because we already know that we already see what's going on now with the township, and we don't want to... We want to make sure that any proposed development is factoring in real-life current data, and we see it changing so quickly in the township. I mean, there are so many discussions we have here in our public meetings about traffic safety in the community, and a lot of it is because the last 5 years, we've seen an explosion of growth in this community. We're trying to get our hands around that. So just thoughts generally about the data. I mean, should we be relying on? I appreciate what was done to try to use past data from prior summers to predict what it would be like, but I don't know if that past data is accurate. So I don't know if it should be increased 15% or 20%.
Well, we can take, you know, let's say we took data this summer. That's not necessarily an indicator of what's going to happen the following summer. So you're not going to resolve that dilemma that's going through that. So I think you're stuck in some instance with using the best available data you have, albeit you may be imperfect going forth with that. And that's probably best to at least to rely on data as opposed to my sense of what's going on. I mean, I'm not a traffic engineer. I'm not the good science. And people disagree with the IT manual. Some people like the IT manual. Some people get all over it. But it is a manual. It's been used. It's going through that. We have counts. We assume that we have counts that is representative statistically of other events going forward with that. And the traffic engineers, I trust these guys that they do this enough over repeatedly that they have a sense that they're generally capturing what it is. Is it going to be perfect? No. Will it be peaks? Will it be lowers? Yes. That goes through with that. But that's the best that I think we can do, unless someone's going to come in with a big check and you're going to rebuild everything, which isn't going to happen.
I just wonder again, in a perfect world, we'd be asking for current data at the busiest time of the year as an indicator of the success of those traffic improvements. Yeah, I will tell you, I mean, when you're there, obviously those improvements are not there yet, but the way that area is right now, certain times of the day, the traffic's backed up. And very difficult to get out of that area. That's the real life concern that we currently live with. I'm just afraid that, I'm not afraid of the project, but I feel like I'm a little nervous about what information we're relying on for the traffic study.
So Eric, you indicated, is the traffic engineer revisiting the data for certain peak hours, and is there going to be a supplement to the traffic impact study? Is that what I heard?
So.
I want to make sure I'm listening and hearing.
We had made a comment that there was degradation in the Saturday peak.
So, am I understanding correctly that there might be some a supplement?
Your question, I'm sorry.
My question is,
trying to listen to two terms.
I'm trying to follow engineers and an attorney that is an engineer, which is a true. But so are you? Am I hearing that the data, you're revisiting certain peak hours to look at different data and potentially providing a supplement for the traffic impact study? Is that, in a nutshell, what we're discussing?
I am going to, Eric's comment letter, the one about the level of service, you might have discussed it on the phone as well, and I'm going to be preparing a response to those, which we always have to respond to the comments.
To the traffic impact, not to the plan, not to the...
To the traffic impact. Because basically, the traffic volumes that we use, we did do counts on the Saturday before, if you just, the Saturday peak hour is the one that's kind of driving the conversation. We counted the Saturday before Christmas when Sweet Lights was open and Christmas Canyon Lane was open, and it was a very nice day. And then we took those counts and factored them up 15% based on all the years of historical data. HRD did a very in-depth dive into it, and I looked at it as well. And then we factored those up 15%, just the through movements on Hershey Park Drive to simulate the summer. So in addition to that, on Saturday peak hour, we did not assume any pass-by trips for our new development. We assumed they were all going to be new trips. So that's conservative as well. And we also did not take a credit for any trips that would be made from our new development to the existing shopping center, called a capture trip, which is a trip made within the development. So we analyzed a Christmas Saturday, if it happened during peak Hershey Park time and with no internal or pass-by trip credits. So that is, I don't know how we could have made it more conservative. So I understood your concerns. That's why we kind of approached it that way, to try to alleviate what we could because we couldn't count in the summer. So we did everything we could to account for that, and I formulated some ideas in my head about how to respond to the comment and work it out with Eric. But and it does go from level of service, the overall level is from D to E, and it goes from an average delay per vehicle of 50 seconds to 58, which is, in PennDOT's parlance, it's within a 10-second variance, so it would be acceptable. But because the boundary between D and E is set at 55, it goes over even though it's only 8 seconds difference. So I think I can address the comments satisfactorily to Eric, but I understand your concern. Like I said, that's why we approached it the way we did, to try to be as conservative as we could. So if you want me to review some of the other on-site things that we were doing to allow people to get out of the new site, but don't, like we had talked about them at the last meeting, Chuck doesn't have his pointer. We have the markings you see there. You see the access from the hotel, which will also be the access to our site coming out of the right side of the sheet here. And up to, this is the western driveway down the hill from the Chipotle. We're proposing to put a stop sign here, as well as markings to do not block the intersection, which would allow vehicles coming down the hill as well as coming out of here to take turns making their movements out while the intersection isn't blocked. They would still need to yield to people coming in because we don't want this backing up here. And similarly, we would provide don't block the intersection markings here so people coming down the hill stop. If they stop at the right location, people coming out here who want to get over to the through lane and the right turn lane will be able to do so without being blocked by the traffic. And our analysis showed that with our improvements, these dual lefts, the queue will come back to the intersection, will be backing through the intersection. And there's also some signage, I believe, Eric, that's still in the plan to help guide people through the development if they want to come up here to get out without having to come down to this driveway and encourage use of the other driveways. So, and as you can see, here's the new through lane add-on and the addition of the right turn lane and modification to the island. So,
Mr. Creasy, I have a question about the box on Main Street. Is
yep.
there a stop at the top of that? Or no, that's just markings on there?
We would not be, you're talking there. You're talking about coming down the hill?
Yes.
We would not be proposing a stop sign there due to the fact that it's there are multiple lanes there that can cause some confusion when you have a multi-way stop on two of the approaches. It would just be pavement markings and signage having indicated to people not to back up through there. If the queues aren't backed up, they can pull through there, yes. The marking is a 2-foot wide pavement marking, so it kind of looks like a stop bar to encourage people to stop if traffic's backing up into the intersection, but it's not specifically a stop sign.
And those boxes aren't enforceable, right? Chief, you can't enforce anyone in the box. It's just out of the goodness of their heart that they won't make that next light, they'll let everyone out.
It's the same situation you have where Park Boulevard comes out to 743. Behind the Hershey Story building there, you go up and you have to turn it. There's a similar kind of marking there and signs.
I also have one more question in regards to last meeting when we talked about the phasing of the lights.
Yep.
So we haven't seen the memo from HRG yet, so that's why we've got these questions. We haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Does the traffic study take into account the potential one, the folks coming out of May Street have one light signal, and then the folks that are coming out the other way down from Hummelstown have a different light signal? Is that phasing? I hope I'm saying that.
You said it correctly. It's called split phasing.
Split phasing, okay.
That's the way I did analyze it. So as you stated correctly, May Street would either go first or second, whichever way it is, I don't remember. But May Street, all of these lanes would be able to go while Walton Avenue stopped. And then May Street would stop, and then all of Walton Avenue would go. And that's due to how the intersection is designed here. You get these left turns tracking out here, and the left turns from the other side, they conflict with each other. But that's the way I did analyze it. And because of all the movements have higher volumes, that split phasing can work. Sometimes it doesn't if the volumes aren't the right way, but looking at it, I believe it can work. And I think it depends on how to review it and approve it, but I've had it happen in similar situations where they have done that. So.
And does that degrade the traffic at all that's on track, like headed towards the park, like having that extra time with two light phases?
The way that I don't remember the level of service. Hershey Park Drive off the top of my head, but the way that the signal operates now, the left turn phases in the through movements on May and Walton Avenue are very long. So basically the way we're dividing it up and split phasing it, it's almost similar time. It's not very much different. We're not stealing all kinds of time. It depends on who never allowed me to do that. So that's a consideration. That's a good question.
But I will say... I'm just going to make a, this is just anecdotal, so the enactments won't be in the books or on a chart anywhere at PennDOT, but do you know that? No. That summer traffic, primarily people that live outside our community, the vast majority of it, were on vacation, and I love the box idea. I don't think it would work because they don't follow our traffic rules now. And I think what you're going to have when the traffic backs up and the people are making a left onto May, they're going to fill that box and you're going to have traffic loaded in the box trying to go left. And then the people trying to come down the hill are going to be beeping, honking. I mean, I see it every day in this community, and it's worse in the summer. People that come into our community do not follow. They're in a rush. They don't want to wait. So I think normally that might work in a community, but I think because we're a tourism community, it's just human nature, my observation. That's a lot of lanes of traffic, those four lanes, and I understand how they should empty it out, but I just, when it's busy there now, those two lanes or three lanes get backed up, and
I have to give my disclaimer that what we're laying out as far as the lanes and the design for this approach is what's shown on the Derry Town, there's a Hershey Area Transportation Study, I forget, from 2020. So we're trying to do, with our improvements, what would be part of the ultimate plan to hopefully widen Hershey Park Drive someday to fix the interchange and do all of that. So it's supposed to be a component of that. So.
I believe that makes sense, and I believe that they did that. And again, those people, none of them live here.
That's the problem, because it's hard to sometimes quantify for us. You know, it's, we're seeing with our eyeballs. That's why we say the eyeball test tells us something different than the engineer reports, the traffic reports sometimes tell us. So
it's also hard sometimes to envision what it'll look like when the improvements are done. Not everyone can visualize that. So.
All right, is there anything else? I mean, what is the desire of the board? Are you comfortable moving ahead? Do we want to table this until we have a chance to review Eric's or Mr. Creasy's responses reviewed by HRG, and we have a chance to review HRG's report?
I feel we should table it until we get a better understanding of what the intricacies are.
My thought is, you know, we would like some certainty that the board is actually going to support the submission. That's really the thing that we're looking for, with the understanding that these details are not worked out yet. Completely worked out with the traffic impact study, but then the HOP plans go through that. We're spending quite a lot of money on that, and we don't even know if the township's going to submit the form to allow it to happen. Remember, if you don't submit the form to happen, we can't do anything. And then and that's not what you guys want, because then nothing gets done. So, you know, we're kind of in a catch here. So we'd like to get some certainty, at least, that you would agree to be the HOP applicant. Nothing's going to get filed for a bit, but we're spending time, your township engineer is spending time, we're going to be paying for the township engineer to do that too. So we'd like some certainty that you would agree to be the applicant on that pending resolution of these items.
So, if I understood correctly, Mr. Christie, you're going to be submitting a response, supplement, something regarding the degradation service concerns to the township engineer at some point?
As the HOP plans are being prepared, I'll be working on trying to get that tied up so we can...
Do you have any idea of the time frame? I think what I heard from the board is they're concerned with the service not staying same, but actually being degraded.
Because that 8-second dip. Which way for
listen, eating. I'm not an engineer, I'm not going to pretend to be. That's what I'm hearing from the board, which would make sense why there's some hesitation to agree to submit, you know, the HOP application. I don't think you're hearing that they're not going to. I think you're hearing that they want to hear additional information with respect to the traffic impact study and what the recommendations are in a complete final understanding as to what those recommendations are intended to do with respect to the traffic at that intersection. In relation to the proposed development. So I guess my question is, when do you think that, not the plan, I understand the plan might be a little longer, but the response to the specific concerns or comments called out by the township engineer with respect to the traffic impact study and what the improvements are anticipated to do at that intersection.
That could happen this week.
Okay. And with the understanding that you don't anticipate submitting the HOP application until the end of May, early June. If the board, my understanding, at least from two of the board members thus far, is there's an inclination to table a formal action on the request at this point tonight. They meet in 2 weeks, you know, the second week in May. In the event that we have that response and the township engineer can review it, and the board can get a handle as to what, after considering the new data or the different data or the different time of year data, that maybe impacts what the ultimate impact of the improvements would be. We mean the board will be in a better position to take final action on authorizing the HOP application, subject to the HOP application agreement and HRG being on board with whatever those plans ultimately become. Does that make sense?
Oh, I understand what you're saying. It's your decision. I put my request out there.
Yeah, and it's made a reasonable request, and I think we feel, just the vibe I got from the different board members is, I don't think we feel like we've seen the final product from the township, so we can rely on moving forward. I think we just need a tad bit more time, and perhaps tabling it for 2 weeks gives our HRG the ability to draft their recommendations and share them with us so that what we're voting on, what we're
we're moving forward, at least we're doing so in a knowledgeable manner. Because I think it's not that we don't trust you, but we don't. I feel like this. We just got we're a little bit ahead of where we need to. You know, almost like if this meeting was next week, we'd be better positioned to move forward than we are tonight. But we haven't seen the information that you guys are referring to, that Mr. Stump is referring to. And I think that we're just a little uncomfortable not having seen the final product to make this decision move forward. I think Mr. Armstrong is right. I think the board is looking to, I don't think we're trying to find a way out from doing what you asked us to do tonight. I just think we feel a little more comfortable being able to rely on whatever Mr. Stump's comments are, whatever recommendation or direction he gives us before we make that decision. So I know you're disappointed, but that's I think where we all are.
We'll be back to it. It's fine. I mean, it's, again, this is your vote. We want you to be comfortable with this. This is a joint project that we're working on with that. And we'll be back, hopefully, and more information with that.
Well, we do appreciate your willingness to give us a little more time.
Sure.
So we do, if we're going to table it, tonight, we will need a motion.
I'll make a motion to table it until the Board of Supervisors meeting in May. What's that date?
May 9th.
All right, motion to table made by Mr. Zmuda. Is there a second to his motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Corrado. Is there any further comment or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion to table, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you, Mr. Sir. I'll take us to item G on the agenda, which is the authorization for a civic banner to be located in the grass area adjacent to the Hershey Company Technical Center building along Route 422, as well as at the east entrance of the Hershey Company's office building at 19 East Chocolate Avenue. And is this going to be Mr. Haley?
Yes.
Okay.
So I have projected on the screen the banner in question. It is the 20th annual Hershey Miracle 5K race. And to describe the project, it's the zoning ordinance allows signs advertising civic and community events in two ways. Civic and community event signs up to 8 square feet in size and 8 feet in height are permitted by right through the ordinance. Section 225.401.4CJ allows signs and banners advertising civic and community events in all sign districts, but requires authorization from the Board of Supervisors. In this case, the 32-foot by 30-inch banners are proposed for the 5K race, which will take place on September 16th to 2023 at Milton Hershey School. The race is sponsored by the Hershey Company, and it benefits the Children's Miracle Network. The applicant would like to place the banner, as shown on the screen, in the grass area adjacent to the Hershey Company Technical Center, which I have up on the screen now. So this is a view from Reese Avenue, and switching over to Google Earth, you see the same area from 422 or Chocolate Avenue. They would also like to place it at 19 East Chocolate on the fence leading into town. So up here is Chocolate Avenue. If you go down off the screen this way, you're on East Chocolate Avenue. And the banners would be placed not more than 30 days before the event, and they would be taken down less than 2 days after the race. This will require board action.
Thank you, Mr. Habig. So are there any questions for Mr. Habig on this item? It's fairly perfunctory. We can entertain a motion.
I'll offer a motion that the 20th annual Hershey Miracle 5K race banner is authorized to be placed in the grass area adjacent to the Hershey Company Technical Center building along 422, as well as the east entrance of the 19 East Chocolate Avenue on this building.
Motion made by Mrs. Nunn. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zmuda. Any Further, any questions or comment? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Haber. The next item, that concludes new business. The next item is Supervisor Board or Committee Reports. It started on my far left and worked to the right. So, Mr. Zanuta, Supervisor Board or Committee Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yesterday, we had a DCDB, Downtown Core Design Board meeting, where we discussed the placement of a generator at First United Methodist Church. That was the only item for business yesterday at the DCDB. This morning, we normally have a transportation committee discussion, and that was canceled due to lack of interest. No, I'm kidding.
That was fun.
And that's it. That's all I got. Oh, I wanted to mention something. On May 18th, the board and the public is invited to the Derry Township Community Cats. They're going to have a little soiree in appreciation of their volunteers. So everybody's invited. It's from 5 to 8.
Right, and they did ask that we RSVP, so yes. If you're going to go, let them know. If you're not going to go, you probably should let them know.
Right. That's all I got.
Appreciate it. Mr. Corrado.
We did have several meetings. Carter will be doing the report.
Very good. Mrs. Lent.
I have a report.
Mr. Wendell.
DTMA met last night. That's Mr. Corrado mentioned. As usual, we received updates on projects, including stormwater, as well as upgrades. Of note, the work on Oakmont Community Basins is nearing completion. They're going to wait to replace the culvert under Wood Road until Waltonville's open. Can't close both roads. And below the entrance to Shank Park, they're going to also replace, I guess another culvert that goes under there. It's degrading, so they'll be fixing that. They're coordinating with township staff to make sure everyone is working at the same time, minimizing impact to activities. In addition, they're working to get the contractor equipment off-site at Bullfrog before Zach's fishing derby and the Boy Scout overnight camping event, so hopefully that's all cleaned up in the next week or so. And DTMA is working on a stormwater capital improvement plan just to identify and prioritize different projects that will need to be done as what they're working on now nears completion. So everything's great at DTMA.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good report. And I have no board or committee reports for this evening. So we will move to the next item on the agenda, which is departmental reports. How could I forget? Chief Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two things for tonight. On the 20th, the Township EMA staff, local entities, fire department, EMS, hospital staff participated in a functional drill with Dauphin County EMA, and there were several municipalities involved. They all had their own train derailments. So I think the board received a couple messages from us in reference to the exercise. But everything went well. We didn't make anything real complicated for anybody where they had to call in the National Guard or anything like that. So, but everything went well. All the staff performed very well. And it was a good functional exercise to get the EOC up and running, make sure that everything was functioning with that, and we were able to get messages out in a timely manner and do things. So that went very well. The second thing I have is I give each of the board members a spreadsheet of some events that are coming up this year. I'd say for the past 10-plus years, we would get this list. Per ordinance, I would grant approval for the closures of these certain roadways during these events and then inform the chairman of the board of these closures. But this year I decided, let's put it on the spreadsheet, give everybody the advance notice of what we're going to be approving and why. So major concert events, when they have parking on the other side of Hirsch Park Drive in the fields, and some leading down the Boathouse Road in those fields, They close Boathouse Road. They'll close Hotel Road. And this is Hershey Airport and Resorts security. And this affords safety for the guests that are coming in and parking in those fields, that they're able to traverse those roadways on foot and not have to deal with vehicular traffic. And then at the conclusion of the concert as well, it provides a way to disperse the crowd and get the traffic out so it doesn't affect the normal flow of traffic along Hirschberg Drive. So it's a very efficient system that they have developed over the years. And so you have those events. There's probably a couple of anomalies in there. AACA, they'll close down those certain township roadways for an extended period of time. Sweet lights, that's a nightly closure that they do on Boathouse Road to get those people in and out and get them through that attraction. The only thing that it does not include on that spreadsheet are the closures for events that affect North Hockersville Road. Those closures require a special events permit from PennDOT, a TE-300, and in order to have that accomplished, those items will come before the board in separate agenda items so the board can approve them in the public minutes and get that information to HNR so they can apply for the permits. So these are just the township road closures. When they will happen, why they are happening. And I do have Matt Bennett from HNR Security here if there's any questions, but I just wanted to notify the board ahead of time before sending out that memo to HNR authorizing those closures.
Thank you, Chief. But is that something, I mean, should we be, should we be, there's probably a right time to publish this on the website. You know, if too early, maybe it gets lost. But
right, I can coordinate with Rebecca and have those certain closures maybe in the e-news and in our social media avenues to let them know maybe about a week or so ahead of time. So there's some notification. Some of those closures are way in the future, but I just wanted to let the board know what will be coming up this year.
All right. Thank you very much for that. It's good information for us to have. Does anybody have any questions for the chief? Thank you.
Thanks.
All right.
Good evening. I'm representing Dave Zassman this evening.
I didn't know whether I should be Deputy Chief Sonderman, right, or Lieutenant Sonderman. I don't know, Robbie. What's your official
name? I'm the Deputy Fire Chief.
Deputy Fire Chief Sonderman. Welcome to the meeting.
We have unfortunately been very busy in the last week. Had a very significant second alarm fire out off of Fiddler's Elbow Road. In the 35 years that I've been a responder, this is one of those events that makes you pause and go, oh my gosh. And we got plenty of folks there. It wasn't a whole lot that we were going to do except saving the other homes that were in the community, which we did. So there's one loss of almost $2.4 million. It did not start in the electric vehicles. It was part of the structure itself. It's still undetermined what the final cause was, but I can assure everyone it was not the electric vehicles.
Wow. And then none of our volunteer firefighters suffered any injuries or?
There were no injuries of the fire department or the public. Yeah.
Well, that's very important, very good to hear. We were getting notification pretty fairly quickly, which we appreciate. So thank you very much. Good to hear that everybody's okay. Public Works, Mr. Clark?
I have nothing to add, Mr. Chairman.
Allison, Library.
So it's National Library Week, so I wanted to update everyone that we're still handing out new cards, and we've handed out over 200 new cards over the past week and a half, and we'll be continuing that until the end of Saturday. So, brand new cards at the library.
Excellent. Zach, Parks and Rec.
Just a fishing derby reminder, Saturday, May 6th, 8 to 10, at Bullfrog Pond for ages 12 and under. We'll have 700 trout stocked for that event, which will go in Monday. And we got a bunch of great prizes from Hershey Homestown Kiwanis Club and Bass Pro Shop. Every kid there will get a prize.
Wow.
And also, it's that time of the year. We are de-winterizing and cleaning the outdoor pool. So by the end of next week, you'll probably see water going in that.
That's exciting. Thank you. All good stuff, Zach. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Township engineer, Mr. Stubb.
No report from me tonight.
No report.
And Mr. Crispin, Township manager.
Mr. Chairman, just have one item for the board this evening. We've had some conversation with Downtown Hershey Association to bring back a Let's Talk Trash event. You may have seen some email floating around. That event's being coordinated by the Downtown Hershey Association. That's scheduled for May 13th, which I think is a Saturday, from 8 to 12. There'll be some information going out. We'll get that out through our emails and get it through the website. And certainly, the Downtown Hershey Association will be publishing that information as well. Interested residents can participate, volunteering their time to come out and help clean certain areas of the township. I think there's a QR code that's associated with the form. It'll take you to a link, and you can select an area of the township that may need some improvement. The DHA is coordinating with the county to get some bags and trash gear, vests and things for safety reasons. And individuals who are going to participate, we're encouraging them to bring their own water. It's a great opportunity to make Hershey look a little better and get back. So just wanted to pass that along, so that we'll be scheduled again Saturday, May 13th, 8 a.m. until.
Yeah, it was a great event. Dropped off a couple of years ago. We're excited to see it back. We appreciate the Downtown Hershey Association for really being a driving partner in this. We're happy to support them. Chris or Tom, I mean, I know that the Downtown Hershey group has identified targets they're looking to clean up. Are we looking around the township and also identifying areas that we want to see volunteers clean? Because we want our volunteer force to go to the areas around the township that we think or others think needs it.
Yeah, yes. I think when you click the QR code, it does give you a list of locations.
Okay, so they're already on the website.
Yes, so when you go and you decide you want to sign up for this event, you are able to select where you want to offer your services, what areas of attention you'd like to clean, whether it's Gilbert Park or Shank Park or
Mr. Prado's backyard.
Right.
That's great. So if you're volunteering, and most of the board, I suspect, will volunteer, bring your own gloves. You don't want to be not wearing your own gloves, and bring appropriate footwear, because you will always be on even surfaces and can easily sprain an ankle. Just experience, that's based on my own experience. You don't want to be picking up stuff off the side of the road and not wearing gloves. So thank you, though. Thank you to the DHA for organizing it, and for any of the volunteers in the community, I encourage members of the board. It's a great event, and over the years it has made an impact on some of the litter around the community.
The last item I have for the board tonight is just a reminder that PSATS is in town this week. As you know, Derry Township hosts the annual conference each year for all of the annual second-class township supervisors to come and educate themselves, and certainly lots of managers and solicitors that come to visit as well. It's a great opportunity for elected officials to get out and introduce yourself to other elected officials from around the Commonwealth. There's power and the knowledge that can be gained by that. Certainly we're proud that it's always in Derry Township that we have facilities to host it. So if you have some time, I encourage you to try to get out tomorrow. Tomorrow is the last day of the conference. Wander around and just see what they have to offer.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. I know Tom and Bob Piccolo were there today. It's great to see the different vendors that are there, learn what's possible. The education sessions are excellent. And kudos to the chief, because I know that, the honor guard or the color guard?
Honor guard.
Our honor guard is performing tomorrow at the conference. The state police had an honor guard that performed, the National Guard had an honor guard. So, and the PSATS organization is very grateful for the police department's
willingness to do that. And I would say there are over 4,000 registered attendees. It's an enormous conference. So it's, you know, you get to learn a lot from your colleagues from other communities. So. All right. Anything else?
That's all I have.
I want to thank Mr. Chrisman and our IT department. So tonight we're all using new iPad technology, which we're all learning to use, but it's fantastic and it replaces the really old iPads we had that were about this big and we were looking at all the same materials everybody sees up there on a little, like something that was not much bigger than an iPhone. So thanks to the IT department for that. We'll take good care of these. But we're very appreciative, so thank you, Mr. Chrisman, for working so fast to make that happen.
You're welcome. And just one other thing I forgot to mention, if you look around the room tonight, you'll see a lot of technology upgrades. This was all part of our conversation during COVID, actually, and it took a very long time for a lot of these materials to come to the township. We now have screens in the back, in the two back rooms, so as meetings are a little more crowded, what you see up on the big screen is also on those side screens as well. PA system has been calibrated and it's connected to the system. You'll see cameras above me here that in the event that we would record a meeting or have to go to some form of a hybrid meeting, we have a way to do that in the event we're shut down for whatever reason. There's been other technology upgrades throughout different offices in the township. The board meeting room in the back has another television monitor like that, so if there are things that are being discussed out here that need to be discussed there, it can be seen there as well. And then each one of these rooms, when they are closed, they can serve as conference points for Zoom meetings or, you know, Teams meetings. So we have a lot more flexibility in the building in the event that it's
Well, you can hear, I can feel it, maybe everybody else can too, just with the audio. I can hear, I could, oftentimes I, you know, I don't know if anybody could hear, but it's hard for us to hear whether or not you were being amplified. Is that brand new, that projector?
Yes, that's brand new.
Because the picture on that screen is 20 times better. I mean, that was so much easier to see what was up there. You know, sometimes it, for years it hasn't projected brightly or clearly, and that was really nice tonight.
So there's a panel behind my back here that controls the system, so the, you know, you kind of just operate everything back here, and whoever's working the table out here can connect to the system, and I'm thinking it's going to be wireless. Some of it will be wireless at some point. That's probably another component we're taking a look at. Right now it's hardwired in, but
well, it's a 17 years, right? So this, we had all the original technology, which in 2006 was advanced technology, but it's been 17 years. So but you found a way to get it done with funding. All right, that'll take us to the last visitor or public comment session on the agenda. So same rules as the first time. Anyone wishing to address the board, please come forward at this time. Okay, see.
I do have a very brief executive session discussion with regard to the following meeting.
So you didn't think I'd let you squeeze that in for adjournment. Okay, that will conclude the visitor comment session of the second session on the agenda. This board will meet an executive session at 8:35, and I suspect, do we have to report on that at the next meeting?
So, you're announcing it now. There's not going to be any, I don't anticipate any action following it, so you can adjourn around.
All right, so then it's time for adjournment. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Motion made by Mr. Zavuda. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mrs. Nutt. All in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And opposed? Hearing none, the motion is adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for coming.